Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, the soaking wet John Gambadoro here on 98.7 FM.
You know, I am. Arizona Sports Station. I literally just went outside to move some cushions over, so because they were getting soaked. I forgot the two cushions in the front. I moved everything in the back out of the, underneath, but I did not move the ones in the front. You know my little rocking chairs that I have in the front that I like to sit in?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I forgot the cushion, so they're all soaking wet right now, but I just moved them.
Are you guys getting dumped on right now?
Oh, my God. It is raining so hard right now. And you know, here's the difference. Me and my wife have absolutely nothing in common. I really don't know how we're married. I love this weather. I love this weather. I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning. I opened the windows, and I get nice and cold, and I love hearing the rain. I love the clouds. Yeah, right. I like sitting in my jacuzzi when it's raining outside, even though I'm underneath. But I just – and my wife hates it. She wants every day to be sunshine. She hates the clouds. She hates the rain. And, man, I love this weather.
I'm with you, Gambo.
A couple of things. We're all in agreement on that in terms of loving this weather. I mean, number one, Gambo and I are not together, so I had no idea he was actually soaking wet. I was just taking a guess.
I really am.
number two, it was a total guess. I just had a feeling you were probably outside standing in it right before the show, and you just popped in, threw on the headphones, and said, let's go. Number two, I also love this weather, which I think means like the three of us are probably professionally married at this point because we all have that in common with each other.
This is so great.
And number three, out here in Gilbert, it's pouring. I mean,
it's coming down so hard right now.
My son's like, the pool's going to overflow.
I'm like, the pool's not going to overflow because it's raining so hard. And then the blind dog, right before the show, the blind dog had to go outside. And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, poor pup.
So I just took the blind dog outside so he could go take a pee.
I
got soaking wet
there. That's some serious first world problems right there if your kid is worried about your pool overflowing in the middle of a rainstorm, right? That's some serious first world problems.
Yeah, big time. I love it. I just love this weather.
It's a lot of fun. It would have been nice if it was doing it yesterday when we were all sitting around watching football, but it was raining aplenty on the Green Bay Packers, and it hasn't let up yet. The Bucs are in the Super Bowl. Let's weigh in on our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in.
They just put two more seconds on there, so now 8, Green Bay 39, first and 10, Brady shotgun snap. Running back block, winds up long pass down the near side, caught for a touchdown! Falling in the end zone, Scotty Miller! The Buccaneers have scored! Brady throwing an arching spiral down the far side, 6 yards deep on the far side of the end zone. 39-yard touchdown pass, Brady!
Kevin King.
Forget Scotty Tom Brady Miller. For a second. We'll spend the whole show talking about him. That had to be one of the worst performances I've ever seen by a player. Kevin King. My God, were you terrible. I mean, how do you let that guy get behind you? How do you pull the jersey? I mean, he was the worst player on the field. The Green Bay Packers, you know I like to blame somebody. The Green Bay Packers lost the game because of Kevin King. That's what they lost the game because of him. I believe he went to UW, Washington grad. He was the worst player in the field. If there, you want to point to a reason, you could go to LaFleur, and we'll talk about that. But Kevin King's inability to cover anybody in that game, it was almost like he threw the game. He was so bad. But I thought that was the game. I mean, I did. I thought them going for it on fourth down. There's 13 seconds left. They got the ball on their 45. They end up getting the fourth and three. They go for it. Brady hits Fournette for 6 yards. And then they go for the touchdown. Scotty Miller gets behind Kevin King, 39-yard touchdown. And Burnsy, they're up by 18 points at the halftime. I thought that was the game right there.
I know everyone's focused on LaFleur, and we're going to talk about that in good time, I promise you. I think that play at the end of the first half was a huge, huge part of that game yesterday. And I think Kevin King's got to share a little responsibility with the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers, who for whatever reason called a defense where there was absolutely no safety help whatsoever. There was nobody behind him. There was no deep man trying to keep everybody in front of him. Why Kevin King is lined up one-on-one on the outside like that with zero safety help is beyond me. But I agree. Kevin King had a day. I'd say the other stretch that lost that game yesterday, three straight possessions where Tom Brady was picked off and the Packers got 6 points out of that. That is a failure if you're the Packers to take advantage of what's being given to you. That and the way the first half ended, that was the ball game right there as far as I'm concerned.
100%. I mean, you know, Amos has the interception, right? So it's 28, I think 28-17. Amos has the interception, and then there was the two other interceptions, and you know, Alexander had the interception off Evans' hands, and then Green Bay punted, and then it was the other interception, and I think Green Bay punted, and if you don't take advantage of those, you know, that's the difference in a game. You got to take advantage. Yeah, two in a row. Was it three in a row on the interceptions?
It was three in a row. It was Avery Amos with the interception. That led to the touchdown.
It led to a touchdown and made a 28-23. Yeah.
Then the ball went off of Mike Evans' hands.
That was Alexander.
And Jair Alexander. And then Darnell Savage pressured Brady, and Jair Alexander intercepted it again. Three straight interceptions on three straight possessions, and you got 6 points out of it.
Yeah. And the last two were the crucial ones because you punted. And then you had the big sack by Shaq Barrett, and then they had to punt again. And then Tampa Bay gets the ball back after you punt, and they go get that field goal to go up 31-23. Yeah, you got to take advantage of those. I mean, that's it. Yeah, you know, if you're Green Bay, you have to. But you know what? This needs to be. And I hate this because you know I don't like them. But this needs to be more about the greatness of Tom Brady. Yes, he threw the three interceptions, but Tom Brady's going to be the first player in NFL history to play in 10 NFL championships games. He joins Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, and Craig Morton as the only quarterbacks to start in a Super Bowl for multiple franchises. His first year in Tampa Bay, they've had no success. He takes them to the damn Super Bowl. I mean, this is unreal. I mean, what he's accomplished is absolutely unreal. And I can't stand the guy, and I hope that he loses every game he plays in. But the greatness that we're seeing in this guy, and you know, the defying of the age really baffles me the most.
Yeah.
That he could be that damn old and still be playing at a level to take his team to the Super Bowl. And any thoughts of, you know, was it Belichick or was it Brady? Yeah, it was Brady. Okay, now we're done. I'm done. I don't want to talk. I love, you know, Belichick's a great coach. It's Brady. Let's end the story.
Yeah, that story, that debate would seem to be over. I know Bickley wrote about that this morning on ArizonaSports.com. The age thing is remarkable because, you know, we just keep seeing quarterback after quarterback get defeated by Father Time, and we wonder. We've been calling this for 5 years now. Okay, this is it. Tom Brady, boy, he's going to hit the wall this year. Nope. He's 43. He turns 44 next year when his contract expires. I don't think anybody would put it past him to play beyond this contract with Tampa Bay if he's continuing to play this level. He has been in this league. He's been in the league 21 years, but he's been a player 19. There was 1 year he missed because he was hurt, and then it was his rookie season where he didn't play. So 19 active, I'm playing, I'm the starting quarterback, I'm the man seasons. He's gone to 10 Super Bowls in 19 seasons. I mean, it's
and I can't remember who after him. The Tom Brady
seriously,
trophy.
I mean, at this point, I mean, you talk about debates that are over, and this one ended a while ago. You know, is it Brady or Montana? Who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Okay, that one is so over. The point where I saw somebody suggest with the conversation we need to start having now is Brady better than Jordan? Is Brady better than Ruth? Is Brady better than Gretzky?
Jordan won six, and he never lost. See, Brady lost to the Eagles and the Giants and the Giants.
But Brady's won six and might win seven in a sport that is designed to discourage dynasties. I mean, it's he's been parody proof in this league. It's in some ways it's more remarkable, isn't it?
I know. I can't argue. I know. I want to argue it and say Jordan's better, but I don't know if I'm making a stupid argument. Does that make sense? I want to argue that Jordan's six championships without a loss is greater, but I almost feel like, am I being dumb here because I don't like Tom Brady? I mean, joins Norm Van Brocklin and Johnny Unitas as the only quarterbacks to play in a Super Bowl in three different decades.
It's crazy.
Three different decades.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. They won three games in a row on the road. They get to play at home now. Like, this is crazy stuff how great he is. And I don't like him, but man.
Here's my favorite stat. I mean, there's a billion of them. There's a billion little factoids like you just presented to our audience. I'm going to present another one from Mike Greenberg. He tweeted this out yesterday. Tom Brady has now accounted for 33% of all of the postseason wins in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dude's been there for a year.
Yeah.
Been there for a year, and he's already got one-third of the Buccaneers' postseason wins under his watch, and he's been there for one season. And not only, look, you talk about the greatness. I just saw the TV ratings that they came down for yesterday's game, the NFC Championship game, and, of course, they were huge. And they broke it down market by market, and the top five markets. Okay, the top three of the five you would certainly understand. Tampa, Florida is one of them. Milwaukee, Wisconsin's another. Kansas City is another because they wanted to see who they were going to be playing in the Super Bowl, assuming they won. The other two were Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston, Massachusetts.
Sure.
Those were two of the top five TV markets to watch Tom Brady
yesterday.
You think
they're rooting for him or rooting against him?
You know what? That is the $10 billion question. I have no idea. I have no idea. I think...
It's not like he went to the Jets or the Dolphins. It's not like he's playing in the same conference. He went to freaking Tampa. Like, it's not like he went to any rival.
I think some of them are split. I think
they shouldn't root for him. They should root for him.
I think, you know, like when Barkley left the Suns, what the hell if I was going to root for him? You know, I wasn't going to root for him. I refused. I absolutely refused.
He didn't deliver anything to you. He didn't win a championship. He was
no,
four,
but he
four
delivered.
Years.
He delivered some really good memories. He didn't deliver a championship, but he did deliver, you know, a trip to the NBA Finals and some just a crap ton of wins every single year.
Yeah.
But I agree. There was no title there.
I was there was a lot of Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. Their pressure on Rodgers, the constant pressure, that's going to get overlooked. But those guys were fantastic. The Murphy bunting interception was a big play. That's going to get overlooked. It's just because of Brady. I mean, and it, even to the point where after the game was over, and I don't know if you stayed around to watch the intro, you know, the awarding of the trophy and then them interviewing Tom Brady. They asked whoever was doing the interview, I couldn't remember who it is, but he asked like three questions. And then Tom Brady like, look, enough of me. How about we get somebody else up here? And that's what he said. He's like, okay. And like, you know, listen, I've done this 8,000 times. Some of these guys are here for the first time. Interview them. Bring up, you know, so the guy brought up Bruce Arians and they talked to BA.
Yeah.
But all the questions were going to Brady to the point where Brady just said, basically, look, man, okay, I've done this 4,000 times. Bring somebody else up and give them their chance.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
And good for BA. Congrats to him, all of those former Arizona transplants who are on that staff, who are on their roster. And congrats to BA for doing the most BA thing ever and cursing during that same interview that you were talking about to the point where he had to be peeped out by the folks at Fox on live TV. That's the most BA move ever, right? First question they ask him, and he drops in a word that had to be beeped out because of the seven-second delay. Just so BA. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Bucks and the Chiefs, who are going to their second straight Super Bowl, and it really wasn't that dramatic yesterday, now was it? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
Mahomes, Hardman, making the ghost in action. They're going to run a float pass. Deshaun, touchdown! Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, a 17th career season touchdown pass, the most in NFL history in a player's first four seasons, finding Kelsey wide open, and it's human pyrotechnics dressed in red, white, and gold.
The call yesterday of a game that I'm not bored with their greatness, Gambo, and I'm not bored of Patrick Mahomes. That game was over by about halfway through the third quarter, and everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. The Bills.
And it was 9-0 Buffalo, right? They got the 51-yard field goal after Beasley saved the possible interception, right? And then Buffalo gets the touchdown, where after the punt was muffed by Hardman, they take the ball and they score first play to Knox touchdown. And it's 9-0. You're like, whoa, man, Bills Mafia is ready. I mean, it looked good, but then I thought they, you know, Kansas City's answer once it was 9-0 to come right back and make it 9-7. You know, that was phenomenal. And then they get a stop, they get the ball back, and then it's 14-9. Then they get a stop, they get the ball back, it's 21-9. And at that point, you're like, I don't know that Buffalo could stop them. I don't think defensively they could stop Kansas City, and they weren't able to.
No, they weren't able to, and some of it was their own doing. They fell behind, as you mentioned, 9-0. The Chiefs did. They scored 21 straight points. They have done that in four of their last five playoff games, rattled off three consecutive touchdowns, bang, 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 21 unanswered. The five playoff games they've played, four of them, they've done that in. So it's obviously very quick strike, very high octane, very go, go, go. They got huge performances. And Gambo, you know, having worked with me for a long time, one of the things in football that I absolutely despise that I think will get you beat are field goals that are between 20 and 29 yards long. Because represent pure, straight-up red zone failures. And the Bills, and okay, I get one of them. Okay, the situation, okay, whatever. But there was one in particular where it's like, dude,
fourth and goal from the two. Is that the one?
You're chasing way too many points to be kicking field goals. What is this conservo ball you've got here? Because you are not going to beat them kicking 20-yard field goals. You're not going to do it.
Well, it was two in a row. They kicked a 20-yarder and then a 26-yarder. But, you know, right, it was 21-9, and you come all the way down the field, right? You get a big play to Yeldon for 20. You get a 3rd-and-2. Yeldon gets it. And then, there's 14 seconds left in the half. You don't have to worry about Kansas City scoring again. They wanted to go in with points on the board. I get that. But, you know, you're down 21-9. You're playing a team who just, you know, has the ability to score at any point. You got to get a touchdown there. It's a 2-yard line. You're at the 2-yard line. They kick the field goal. Then they get down again. I think they get inside the 10, and they kick a field goal. It's like, you know, they end the first half with a field goal. They start the second half with a field goal. And, yeah, you're absolutely thinking, okay, I mean, Kansas City will trade touchdowns for field goals all day long. You can't beat them if you're doing that.
Of course they will. Yeah, those drives were basically halftime was right in the middle of them. The Bills doing one right before, the Bills doing one right after. And almost as if to say, see what you've done in the second one they kicked, okay, to make it 24-15, almost as if it was Kansas City's way of saying, hey, you want to kick field goals when you're inside the 10-yard line? Fine. We're going to go 71 yards to Tyreek Hill and prove to you why you probably should have tried to go for it, because you're not going to beat us kicking field goals. You're not going to do it. And I don't know if they would have beaten them if they'd gone for it. It's just you have to have a different mindset when you're playing a football team like the Kansas City Chiefs that can basically score at will, it seems like, and has that much speed. And I just thought that was – you know, and LaFleur, he made his decision in the Packers game. But, Campbell, I just thought that was really soft, really conservative, and just not what the situation called for at all by the Buffalo Bills.
Unlike any other team, Kansas City's ability to get down and not be fazed by it, I saw something according to, like, Elias Sports Bureau. Patrick Mahomes is 4-1 when trailing by two or more scores in the playoffs.
Yeah.
4-1.
I saw that stat.
Yeah, you don't, like... Like, it doesn't – being down 14 points, man, they could score in 2 seconds. Like, it doesn't phase them. So, yeah. I mean, Mahomes is great. Kelce and Hill, first set of teammates to have 100 receiving yards in the same game in a single postseason. Kelce was unstoppable. I mean, the one play where he lobbed it to him and he was wide open in the end zone, like, I mean, how do you not account for Travis Kelce? Like, those two guys got to be covered on every single play.
And then they're getting cute with shovel passes, underarm passes, like Patrick Mahomes, the softball pitcher, right? Just kind of throwing it in there to Travis Kelce the way he did. Yeah, Kelce and Hill have been enormous so far this postseason. And look, the Bills, a really, really good story, a terrific story. And with a quarterback in Josh Allen, who from year one to year two, or year two to year three, made such a leap in terms of how he plays quarterback, the future is obviously very bright. But for Kansas City, the future is now. And for Patrick Mahomes, he gets to play Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and he talked about that after the game yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best. I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
We've obviously got 2 weeks to prep for this game. I one note that you sent me earlier today stood out, and that was that every time Brady and Mahomes have played, it's never been more than a 7-point deficit, right? They've played each other very, very close every single time. And it really is, I mean, not to get all deep on everybody here, but, I mean, it is – the best quarterback of the past versus the best quarterback of the future.
You see the two goats?
Yeah, to see who the quarterback
goat
of the
and
now
baby
is.
Goat.
Yeah. Or like the Yoda. Did you see the Yoda one where it's like the, well, you don't watch Star Wars, but it's like old Yoda and then Yoda from Mandalorian, baby Yoda. Yeah, it's
I understand you, Bernsie.
Yeah, I saw both of them. I saw Gambo's and I saw Bernsie's, yeah.
Regular goat and baby goat.
I spent too much time on the internet.
I did too.
You know, I was thinking this too, right? You know, we've got, you know, the Rodgers rate, the Patrick rate, the Rodgers rate, the Patrick rate. You know, I'm in a group chat with my friends. My God, they're so sick of the Rodgers rate. And then you got Brady, who doesn't do anything, right? I mean, does Brady do any commercials? Brady doesn't. I mean, you never see Brady anywhere.
I mean, he just has his own health, you know, almond nut juice.
I know, but you know, you've got. I mean, every single commercial in an NFL playoff game is either Rodgers or Mahomes.
That's true.
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield.
It's Rodgers or Mahomes, CBS Mayfield promoting their halftime show. It's either that too. If I watch that CBS halftime commercial one more time,
I see it on my TV right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, we're going to be sick of that song. We're going to be sick of that song in another couple if we're not already.
We're going to be. Brother, I passed that mile marker 10 miles ago, man. I'm so sad. I like that song, and I'm so sick of it already.
Although I do like, I'm not going to lie, I do like Scoop, there it is. Scoop, there it is.
Hey.
Sprinkles.
My God.
Shaka laka, shaka laka, shaka laka, boom.
Yeah, I sing that every time.
I freaking love that commercial. I start dancing, and my wife's like, "You literally are the worst dancer that is in the world." I don't know.
You know, not gonna lie to you. In that TikTok video we made over at your house, I think I pretty much outdanced you. Pretty sure.
Oh yeah. I tell her all the time, I'm the one person here that starred on a dancing TV show. So,
I starred on Dance Party USA. You have to brush it from your face.
Actually, yes. Gambo, you have a rival on that. But that's for another time. We have to get to break. You're not the only person who's been on a dancing TV show.
I starred on a Dance Party USA.
Yes.
Sarah, you've been on a dancing TV show?
It's called Coffee TV. It's a cable access show in San Francisco.
There's no comparison. There's no comparison.
Let me find the tape for you. Let me find the tape for you. It's incredible.
Gambo, I need to see this tape, this mysterious, magical tape of yours that nobody has ever watched. I think now is the time for its public release. Mm-hmm. I want to see you on Dance Party USA. You've only been talking about it for 25
years. I got that VHS player now. I think I could put it in somewhere and find it.
I think you can manage it. When we come back, well, the main focus of the weekend was football. Phoenix Suns, weird weekend. Dropped two games in overtime to what was one of the best teams in the Western Conference a year ago. How concerned are we about the state of the Suns? We'll talk about them next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah's here with us for today's poll question, and this is an interesting one. I'll be curious to see what our listeners go, what direction they go with this one. I found this to be a very interesting question. Sarah, what do you got?
Yeah, so there are definitely two quarterbacks, potentially three quarterbacks, looking for a new team this offseason. Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford, we know that they will be with new teams heading into the 2021 season. And now Aaron Rodgers, we're not really sure if he's going to stay with the Packers. So we are asking, as a Cardinals fan, which of those three quarterbacks would you least want to see end up in the NFC West, because both the 49ers and the Rams potentially are looking to upgrade their quarterbacks? So least want to see in the NFC West, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford.
I
think we all know who's going to run away with it. I'm interested to see who finishes second on this one, because it on the surface, you'd go, well, of course, it's Aaron Rodgers would probably finish second, right? But he's 37, 38 years old. He's got a finite amount of time left. I think Stafford, in the right system, could be a very productive quarterback if he got the right guys around him. So I'm also going to say Deshaun Watson, but I want to get to the results because I want to see who's second on this list.
It ain't Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
51% of our voters would least want to see Deshaun Watson in the NFC West. 43% voted for Aaron Rodgers. 7% of the vote to Matthew Stafford.
Because to me, it's real simple. I'll take a guy on a short term, he's going to play a few more years, over a guy who could be there for 10 more years.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, of course. Watson is, I'm not debating that for sure. Watson is the hands down, you're going to pick Deshaun Watson because of exactly what you said. He's got you know, a decade plus worth of brilliance in front of him potentially. I think people are selling Matthew Stafford a little short because he still has multiple years left in which he can be very good, where Aaron Rodgers only has a couple, you know, and then his career might be done. I don't know. I
think people have a lot more faith in Aaron Rodgers than they do Matthew Stafford.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but Stafford, you know, I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers has been so good, you know, MVPs, Super Bowls, and Stafford has been stuck on the worst franchise, one of the worst franchises in the NFL. But I think he's a lot better than that. He just hasn't had much around him. But that's a good question. I like it. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where that's at. Frustrating weekend for the Phoenix Suns. As I watched a lot of Friday night's game, felt very comfortable about how they were playing. And then in the second half, it just all fell apart. The fourth quarter, it really fell apart with all of those turnovers and everything. And then Devin Booker, the injury in overtime, kind of cast his short-term future in doubt. And then on Saturday, God, they played so hard against the Nuggets.
Book.
I mean, without Book.
Without Book.
And I mean, Ayton was a beast against Jokic. But the minute he fouled out of that game, you just knew. You just knew there was no way Kaminsky was going to be able to deal with Nikola Jokic the way Ayton was, and you knew that thing was over the minute Ayton walked off that floor.
Yeah, and listen, there's a lot of backup centers that Kaminsky could probably hold his own against. That's not one of them. So
no,
you know,
no, that is not.
No, that's not one of them. And, you know, listen, they did a much better job. You know, you look at the first game on Friday, and Denver destroyed the Phoenix Suns in the paint. They had 80 points in the paint. Well, the Suns did a much better job on that in the second game, and they only gave up 42 points in the paint. But when Ayton fouls out of that game, you know, you're like, okay, you're done. You're not going to be able to win it because they just, Kaminsky's not able to hold up Jokic. So in the overtime, they just, you know, they just kind of took over. And then, you know, the Suns live and die by the three, and, you know, Cam missed a corner three, and then Crowder missed a shot, and then Paul misses, and they just thought it missed up. When DeAndre Ayton picked up his sixth foul with 1:38 left, he was trying to get position against Jokic. And Eddie Johnson pointed out that if he just would have stayed where he was instead of trying to get back on D, he would have got the rebound. He's right, but you are trying to get back on D. So when he fouls out there in the overtime, they go to the second overtime, and that's where you think, boy, I just don't think they're going to be able to do this. Crowder forces the second overtime with a buzzer beater. Took a pass from Kaminsky, nails the three at the buzzer. They go to the second overtime. But it was all Denver in that second overtime.
Yeah, and I think that's where you really missed Ayton. You were able to survive that first overtime without Ayton, and in part because Crowder hit that crazy three. Jamal Murray had his own crazy three just to send the game into overtime. By the way, did you see the last 2 minutes report from the NBA of that game on Saturday? Traveling should have been called on Jamal Murray. The NBA
inbounded the ball. Murray hit the three over DeAndre.
Yeah, that he traveled right before he hit the three.
Wow. Yeah, the
traveling
Suns
should have been called.
You know, I didn't even notice that. And I did watch that whole game. I'm going to go back because I still have it on tape. Chris Paul hits a jump shot. 12 seconds left in the game. Suns are up by three. You're thinking, okay, just defend the three. Don't give up the three. Denver inbounds it. Murray takes the shot over Ayton and hits it, and then you go to overtime. Yeah, so I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I did not see that.
Go back and look at it. You'll see it.
Yeah, the Coyotes lost the game to Vegas on an icing call. Icing. Like, they didn't call icing. And Vegas got the goal to beat them. Kemper played a great game.
Yeah, between that and Mikal Bridges battling foul trouble in game number two, of course, all of this adds up to, you know, a two-game losing streak now, both against the Denver Nuggets on back-to-back nights. Monty Williams not happy with the referees from this weekend at all.
You know, the whistle that we get is something that I got to talk to the league because I don't understand some of the calls. Like, it's just getting old. There were a few, you know, I don't feel like I should have to challenge to get it right, and that part really bothers me because you lose timeouts, and you know, I thought, you know, for DA to play that physical and foul out, and I look at Jokic, you know, I think he had three fouls. You know, those are the ones that make you scratch your head sometimes. In a physical game like this, it's hard to accept.
Yeah, and sometimes something I've noticed, Gambo, that this team, this Sun, and usually it's Devin Booker, Sometimes they do get awfully, awfully obsessed with the officials and calls that are made and calls that aren't made. Devin Booker in particular seems to be really – I know he wasn't there on the floor on Saturday night, but the fact that Monty says he wants to call the league, I guess they asked Chris Paul the same question, and he said, man, I'm going to save my money. They've taken way too much money from me over the years for me to start talking about officiating. But it was. I mean, traveling should have been called on Murray. Ayton fouls out. Jokic doesn't. Jokic, very complimentary of DeAndre Ayton after the second game on Saturday night. Quote, that guy's amazing. He knows what he needs to do to get better. He stopped me 4, 5, 6 times. Give him a lot of credit. He's a great player. He played so well defensively.
Yeah, my favorite play from DeAndre Ayton came in overtime of that game. Crowder misses a jumper. Jokic goes in for what looks like it's going to be an easy basket. DA blocks it. McHale takes it, feeds Crowder, who scores for a lay-in, gave the Suns a 199 lead. I mean, just a great play to block Jokic right there. Look, DeAndre Ayton, you know, he's playing well. Like, the first game, you know, he was mad at himself. Like, if you didn't watch the game, and you just look at, you know, DeAndre Ayton, 11 out of 13 from the field, 27 points, 13 rebounds, 6 of them were offensive rebounds. He made all 5 of his 3 throws. You're like, wow. I mean, it is. I mean, stat line, that's what everybody's looking for. 11 out of 13.
And just to clarify, you're talking about Friday's game, right?
Friday's game. You're talking about the first
game. Okay, I just want to make sure because it's their two games and get confused.
Yeah. Yep, yep. Friday's game, if you just looked at that, you're like, okay. Now, again, I mean, but he was, and I loved this, he was upset with how many points they had in the paint. He was upset with Denver's getting too many easy. I got to be more aggressive. I got to be more physical. I can't allow them to get 80 points in the paint. So he wasn't, you know, he had a good game, but he wants more. And I like that. I thought I really respected that. He wasn't satisfied with that game, even though you could say he had a good game.
Yeah. And Chris Paul was also upset with himself on Friday night, not calling a timeout. Quote, that's on me. That was the dumbest play. Right there before the end, when it went into overtime, he didn't know what was on the clock, and he didn't call a timeout when he should have. So by losing both of those games, and by the way, there was no update offered on the status of Devin Booker. Our own Kellen Olsen tweeted out, the next time we'll have an opportunity to learn about the status of Devin Booker will probably be tomorrow's injury report in advance of the next time the Suns play, which isn't until Wednesday night. So, yeah, no word on Devin Booker at all in terms of his injury. But the Suns, after that hot start, barely above 500. They're now 8-7 on the season. They've lost 5 of their last 7 games.
Man.
And it's
disappointing.
Yeah. And disappointing for different reasons. Friday was disappointing because they played so well in the first half and then just absolutely fell apart in the second half with the turnovers and everything like that and the points in the paint. And then on Saturday to play so hard and to not be rewarded for that. I mean, if Jamal Murray doesn't hit that 3-pointer at the end of regulation,
you split with Denver, you're happy.
Yeah, that's an extremely satisfying win.
Yep.
And split if you're the Suns, if Jamal Murray just doesn't hit that 3, which is why it's going to be very frustrating. When you go back and watch it, you're going to see the travel. He traveled, and the league said it should have been called. It should have been called, and it wasn't. And that is probably what's pissing Monty Williams off today.
You know, I mean, you know, the late third period, not much time left in the game, and Vegas ices the puck, and it's not called, and it gets thrown out from behind the net in front. Kemper gets beat, and they lose the game 1-0, and they played their asses off. They literally, the Coyotes played their asses off, and they come away with nothing, and I mean, it was an apparent icing call, and it didn't go their way. And now you're saying the travel with Murray doesn't go their way. And it's just, man, is that Phoenix sports in a nutshell? It seems to happen all the time, doesn't it?
It does seem to. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, don't look out your window when I say this, but spring training is just around the corner. Or is it? And it's not a weather conversation we're going to have next. It's something much deeper than that. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show. Well, you never know with the weather today. Spring training is supposed to start in just a few weeks.
3 weeks.
And apparently,
let's go.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen. To the point where there was a memo that went out today. This is just kind of adding to all the baseball stuff that has been out there. Major League Baseball has instructed its teams to be prepared for an on-time start to spring training and the regular season, according to the MLB Players Association, despite a letter from various Phoenix area mayors asking them to hold off, despite a suggestion from Ken Rosenthal and others to hold off maybe a month. Apparently, Gambo, kind of comes down to a couple things. It comes down to the players want to make sure there will be a full season played because they didn't get a full season last year. They want their full paychecks, and they don't want anything potentially getting in the way of that. So they're not going to agree to any kind of delay of the season whatsoever.
Well, I mean, doesn't the county and the governor and the politicians and the mayors, don't they have a lot of say in this?
I don't think they do have much say in it, to be honest with you.
The Cactus League sent Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred a letter asking for a delay at the start of spring training due to the state of the COVID-19 pandemic in Arizona's Maricopa County. So can they, I mean, I don't know, can they start spring training without approval? I mean, what if they say, I would think the politicians have a say in this. They did in the past.
Pro sports have gotten a lot of exceptions, though, from the politicians. So I don't know if that is what would stand in the way. I'm not sure.
I'm going to read you a tweet from Jason Stark, and he tweeted this out this morning. You might think this would cause MLB, and when he says this, he means this letter that was sent from the local leaders in the Phoenix metro area who have asked Major League Baseball to delay the start of spring training. Jason Stark tweeted out, you might think that it would cause MLB to reconsider whether to open camps on time. Don't bet on it. The union will likely see this as a veiled attempt to shorten the season and not pay players full salaries. And spring training isn't Arizona's call, so this won't change anything. The leaders who signed the letter, including mayors who represented Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Tempe, Surprise, Glendale, Goodyear, Peoria, the Maricopa Indian community, all the relevant communities that have stadiums and things like that, the letter basically said, we believe it's wise to delay the start of spring training to allow for the COVID-19 situation to improve by mid-March. It goes on to talk about all the numbers here. But the plan currently is to begin. And like I said, there was the tweet that I mentioned. This came from Fox Sports and their Major League Baseball division that, according to the Major League Baseball Players Association, the league has instructed its teams to be there on ready to go for the start of spring training. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know how much power the local municipalities have to say, no, you can't come. You're not allowed to do spring training here. I have no idea.
I was reading something in The Athletic that said the Major League Baseball – tell me how you read this. The Major League Baseball Players Association released a statement today saying that the Cactus League's letter correctly notes that MLB does not have the ability to unilaterally make this decision. So Major League Baseball can't make the decision without the union, but the municipality's aware, like, I don't know. I mean, could they delay? I don't think there'll be any fans. I think that they already know. There's not going to be fans. The first spring training game, they're not going to have fans there. If they am, it's going to be a really small amount, right?
No, and I think I tend to think I'm not in the room, I'm not negotiating with these, but I think you're right, there's not going to be fans there. I think after everything got so sideways last year between the players and the owners, and I still remember vividly, I think, Gambo, honestly, one of my memories of the pandemic will be doing a show from your house, and for the entire, it felt like month of June, but it was probably more like May and June, just talking every single day about baseball and whether they were going to figure out a way to be able to play or not. And I think after all of that divisiveness a year ago, I don't think Major League Baseball players trust Major League Baseball owners to start a season late and make up for it on the back end. You know, like so instead of starting the season on April 1st, you start the season on May 1st. And the players are saying, yeah, as long as you promise to make it up on the back end, we'd be more than happy to wait a month. We just need to know that we're playing 162 games because we're not getting paid for anything less. And that part about unilaterally agreeing, that's where this comes into play. Baseball owners can't shorten the season on their own without player approval. It's got to be 162 unless the players agree to anything less. And after what happened last year, the players aren't agreeing to anything less because they want their paychecks.
Sure. And this is where the players, you know, to me, aren't looking at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is, what if there's no fans again? Well, what if a team can't count 2 million people through the turnstiles, which that's how they figure out their budget. They budget how many people, you know, what their television revenue is, what their other revenues are, their signage, the naming rights of the stadium, and then you factor in how many people are going to come through the ballpark. And if you estimate we're going to have 2.1 million people through the ballpark, and then all those people, you know, parking and concessions, and that's how you make your budget. And now without fans, because you can't assure anybody there's going to be fans in the stand. And even if they say, okay, not everybody's going to go this year, so the numbers are all going to be down. And at least at the start, it's very likely that in a lot of these areas at the start, they're not going to have full capacity. They might have 20%, but they're not going to have full. So, you know, now, okay, now you're going to ask all the owners to take it on the chin again. Hey, we want our full salary, even though you're not making the revenue to pay the salary. So, you know, they got to figure this out. I could probably see another sort of fight coming with this.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think this time a year from now, I mean, people should hunker down. I think there's going to be a big-time fight a year from now, one that will probably involve a shortened season, missed games, some sort of a work stoppage, be it a strike, be it a work a lockout, something along those lines. It's not going to happen this year. But, I mean, just to, again, show you how difficult the negotiations are, this story broke today. The Players Association turned down the latest owner's proposal for the universal designated hitter and expanded playoff format. The owners are trying to tie the two together, and the union has believed all along that they don't think getting the universal DH benefits them enough to expand the playoffs, knowing all the extra money the owners can make from expanding the playoffs and selling that TV package a year from now. They're like, giving us, you know, 15 extra designated hitters. That's not worth the money we'd make off of that is not even close to the money you're going to make off of expanding the playoffs. So let's try to tie the two together here. It's Gambo. We saw this last summer. The state of the relationship between these two sides is as poor as it's been since the early to mid 90s when a World Series was canceled. And like, I'm not in the room. You know, a guy like Jeff Passan or Buster Olney Ken Rosenthal would probably be better suited to make a statement like that. But it seems like it's in a real bad spot. And at this point, it just feels like, hey, look, if you're a player, I want to play 162 games. I don't care if people are there or people aren't there. I want my salary this year because you screwed me out of my salary last year, and I'm not going to agree to anything less than that because I don't trust you to make sure I get my 162. It sort of feels like that's the tone of these conversations
last couple
of weeks.
Should they get their full salaries if the revenue to pay those salaries is cut in half? Because you only have the TV money, you don't have the revenue from the fans. The other thing that you know that you look at, and I saw this on a tweet from a Sophia Quintara. Spring training is a big deal in Arizona. The Cactus League brought in $644 million into Arizona in 2018, and almost 60% of Cactus League fans visit from out of state. So you know you're gonna lose all of that. You're going to lose that revenue, that $644 million? I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Not this year. You're not going to get that revenue this year, unfortunately. For all of our municipalities here in the Valley that come to count on that money, you're not going to get that this year. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, suddenly the subplot to yesterday's Bucks-Packers game. Did we, without knowing it, just witness Aaron Rodgers' last game in a Green Bay Packers uniform? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.